Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Now, it's sad to say, but there's still some hesitancy around allowing women to realise their full potential in the workplace. My next guest has made challenging these perceptions and helping women maximise their careers an absolute passion. Her new book, Flex, is a practical guide in negotiating today's workspaces where flexible work can become much more than a buzzword. It's great to welcome Elizabeth Willits to the show. Elizabeth, how are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm good, thank you.
Well, let's just start. Before we get into the book, maybe you might just sketch out your own career for us, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So my background's recruitment. So I've worked in recruitment since 2007. So I started my recruitment career at one of the world's largest recruitment agencies, and I worked there for 8 years recruiting initially qualified accountants into banks before moving into HR recruitment. And then in 2015, I moved in-house into talent acquisition, became an in-house recruiter for one of the big four, where I recruited their consultants. Right. And like a lot of people, I was made redundant during the COVID pandemic. So in 2020, I lost my job. I was part-time at that point because I had two small children. They were 1 and 3. And I really wanted to continue working part-time. I'd actually really struggled to have my children. I'd suffered from infertility. So my first daughter was born as a result of IVF, and I just couldn't think of anything worse than, after having struggled to have children, to leave them and go back into full-time employment. But every time a recruiter approached me and I asked, will they consider part-time? They said no straight away or ghosted me. And I looked back on my own career when I'd recruited hundreds, if not thousands of people at that point, and I had never at that point recruited anybody on a part-time basis. Wow. We didn't even register people that wanted to work part-time when I was in agency. And, you know, if somebody asked if the role could be done part-time when I was in-house, we always said no. So I thought, you know, I've been part of the problem. I looked, there was a lot of flexible working influencers online, but none seemed to have a recruitment background. So I thought I wanted to use my recruitment experience for good. And that's why I founded Investing in Women, which is a job board and recruitment company that helps people find flexible part-time and remote jobs. Okay. So I founded that nearly 4 years ago now. So in June 2021.
Okay. And it sounds like you're very happy in what you're doing now versus maybe what you were doing in the past.
Yes, I mean, I love recruitment. So, you know, I've always enjoyed working in recruitment, but it is really fulfilling now to help people find those often really hard to find jobs that they think don't exist, those unicorn roles which offer them, you know, the flexibility that they want and need.
Yeah. I was reading through some of the notes that you kindly provided us with, and you talked about, and I know this is a few years ago, but you put a quote into the book, which I actually found quite shocking. You say that when you were working as a recruiter, you went to the client with your decision of a couple of individuals. And that client said to you, we'll offer the role to the lady in her 40s rather than the 30-year-old, please. We're just worried the 30-year-old might get pregnant.
Yeah,
like that's shocking even today.
I know, yes. And I think it happens so much and people just don't talk about it. There's a lot of conversations that unfortunately happen behind closed doors and really sets up women at a disadvantage because, you know, don't know about that lady. She might not have wanted children. She might not have been able to have children. So even before women have children, you know, they get to a certain age, they might get married, and automatically people are thinking that, you know, that they're not fit for their job or their career. I've known some people as well that have messaged me that have said they've been passed over for promotions, they've not been given juicy work just because they've got married, and they've even been told that the reason is because their employer is worried they're going to get pregnant.
Wow, that's absolutely shocking. Tell me about this unconscious bias, because it's related to this. You talk about it quite a lot in the book.
Yeah, so unconscious bias, I mean, I think there's obviously conscious and unconscious bias, but there is a tendency, I think, for people to want to hire people that look and sound like them, and think that is obviously just quite ingrained in us. Probably it's quite a tribal thing. You know, when we used to have rival tribes, and it probably felt a safer thing to try and, you know, mirror
Find one of your own.
Yeah. Find one of your own. But obviously that doesn't translate very well into modern society, you know, which is multicultural, lots of different people in the workplace. And obviously as well, we're serving, businesses are serving a multitude of customers as well, you know, all genders, ethnicities, ages. So it's actually really good for business to be as diverse as possible because they can understand their customer base so much better. They can speak to that customer base so much better. And there's so much studies that show that diverse organizations are much more profitable than those that aren't.
Yeah. One of the, I suppose, byproducts of that type of behavior in the workplace is that, you know, the wrong people end up getting promoted. Right. There's maybe a trend that you can see that certain types and stereotypes get on and others don't. Mm-hmm. And it must have a hugely damaging cultural impact on the business, particularly if you're on the wrong side of it.
Yes, absolutely. And you hear, don't you, so much about people feeling really overlooked and undervalued. And, you know, in those circumstances, they either will leave and go somewhere where they do feel more valued, or they probably won't perform at their very best because they feel more unmotivated because they feel so undervalued. So I think there is a real, I talk about strengths a lot in the book, and I talk about it from an individual perspective when you're deciding what career you want to go into, to do some exercises to determine what your strengths are. But actually as a manager, you can do that as well. You can put your staff and your employees through strengths-based exercises. So then you know, basically what everyone's strengths are, and you can allocate tasks accordingly, and you'll create a much higher performing team if you do that and work with people's strengths rather than overly focusing on trying to change people. Or
yeah, sounds logical, but I'd say I'm sure you're amazed at how many don't do it.
Yes. I mean, I don't think a lot of, I think most firms probably don't do it. I'm looking back at my own appraisals, you know, there's often feels quite a lot of emphasis on weaknesses. But actually, when you think about people that have done the best in their careers, they're actually not that rounded. It's because they've recognised what their strengths are and honed in on that.
Yeah. You also talk in the book about some interesting things like techniques to help you make flexible working requests to your employer more likely to say yes. Can you tell me about some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, and I was guilty of this with a flexible working request myself, there can be a tendency to focus on what you need as an individual. You know, I need to work from home because of X, or I need to only work part-time because of Y. But actually, if you think about it from the employer's perspective and the benefits to them of you working in a slightly different way, then you're going to be able to sell that request to them a lot better. So, yeah. You know, you might say, I want to work from home, but therefore I'm not going to be stuck on a commute, and I'll be able to respond to client inquiries if they may come in a little bit earlier or a little bit later. So think about how you can sort of sell your flexible working request to your employer. And I know that people that have actually, I've done quite a lot of podcast interviews with people that are really senior now that have worked part-time for a long time, and they sort of said one of the ways they got part-time when they wanted part-time was to go to their manager and say, I'm going to be one of the highest performing people in your team. I'm always going to be in the top quartile, but I'm going to do it in 3 days. And if I don't do it in 3 days, then we can have another conversation. Yeah. But it's actually been a little bit bullshitty and sort of presenting your cases to the employer as in, like, what have they got to lose? And it's definitely worth them then trying and being open.
And it does show, as you say, a resilience, a bit of risk, and kind of promoting a two-way win.
Yes, absolutely. And there is so many benefits to employers for employing people part-time, because, you know, there's a lot of studies that show part-time employees are more productive. Obviously, you save on employment costs as well. If you're employing somebody on a part-time basis, you save on salaries because you'll tend to be paying prorated salaries. Therefore, you're also paying less employment tax. So actually, you can often get all the benefits of, you know, a really high-performing team for less costs to business.
And can I ask you finally then, Elizabeth, has the environment changed post-COVID? And again, anecdotally, could I suggest maybe that there's more of an appetite for remote, for part-time, than there ever was pre-COVID?
I think so. I mean, hybrid is now like the new full time in an office. We very, very rarely hear of, you know, 5 full days in an office. It seems like those jobs are now hybrid. 3 days in an office, 2 days from home, which is a lot more manageable for lots of people. So those seem like they're definitely here to stay, which I think is a really positive thing, obviously, for a lot of people that can work in an office. I know that not all roles can be. But yeah, I think that generally there has been a little bit of a trend recently on like back to office in some organisations.
Yeah.
And obviously there's been a slashing of DE&I initiatives in America. But I'm hopeful that, you know, employ so many candidates, their top, you know, wish list is flexible working, you know, male and female. And it's often rates higher than salary, and they would choose a role that, you know, pays less but offers more flexibility. Yeah. So if employers want to attract top talent, then they have to prioritise flexible working.
All right. Well, it's been a revelation to talk to you today, Elizabeth. You speak a lot of sense.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's good to hear you. And thanks for your views, and best of luck with the book. That's Elizabeth Willetts there, the author of Flex and founder of Investing in Women. Thanks again, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Up next, it's Executive Chair Time.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.